The Unofficial Lounge with Ashante, Craybon, and Monty. We're here to give you the insight into some of the biggest plays you remember involving the people wearing the stripes. We look at the grit it takes to become an official while exploring the history of officiating with the people who made it. It's more than black and white.
Y'all was the, what's that team that played
the
the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah, right, yeah. The Generals.
Yo, yeah, it was, and like I said, coming from a program like Penn State and going to the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Oilers / Tennessee Titans, it was kind of not safe, you know what I'm saying? we had a good coaching staff, but it was just bringing everything together. And, you know, I give our staff a lot of credit those first couple of years, because it would have been easy to fold. But, you know, they kept grinding. Like, my first 1, 2, 3 years, we went 8-8. We were 500 every year, not making
it. I mean, you did have Fisher as a coach. I mean, he is the 8-8 king.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, but, like, he had, like, the staff had us all ready to play. I give him a lot of credit, you know. And like, when we came in the 99, all they butts was on the line at that time.
Mm. They was young, up and coming coaches then.
Yeah, yeah. Like Greg Williams had become the he was the defensive coordinator in 97. After we left.
Did you ever figure out that fax machine?
Nah, I never got one.
now, Terry, before we transition into your officiating journey, what would you say was your highlight of your time in the NFL?
A highlight, that's a great question. It had to be that Music City Miracle play. I mean, that is easy and obvious. I mean, the Super Bowl was nice, but without the Music City Miracle, we don't go.
What was you at on that play?
Right.
Hey, doing what I do best, blocking the kicker.
So you was holding.
they wanted roughing the kicker on me. Like, because I was just mushing, like it was. All I had to do really is get in his way. He was calling for a flag. I was like, "Are you serious?"
And you know, as we know now, today's world, he's defenseless, and you couldn't touch.
Yeah,
him.
He defense. I was mushing.
Your highlight is blocking the kicker.
Yeah, man. I take pride in that too.
Hey, he is on one of the most. He was on the field for one of the most known
blocking the kicker
plays, bro, in NFL history. You know, in NFL history, he was on the field participating
in one of the
top 50 plays of all time.
And the cool part about that, transitioning to officiating, I met and know some of them dudes who was on the field at that time. The number one guy I wanted, well, it's two, but the number one guy I want to shout out is Byron Boston, who punched it back.
The big man.
Yeah, who punched it back.
You didn't know what that meant when you was on the field? You didn't know what that meant?
Nope, I sure didn't. And I
loved it then.
I sure did. The first time, like I say this too, I have never been so excited in my life about a play. I was actually hyperventilating. I couldn't catch my breath. I thought I was having a heart attack. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Like, because it was that much emotion, and I was elated. Everybody was like that, man. But the killer part is, we still had to, after we scored, I had to turn around and run down on kickoff.
Oh.
Because they got
to. You still have to run down, bust up the wedge again.
Yeah, they had enough time for another play. And they tried it, but we shut it down. But we were ready for it. Because, like, even going back to that Music City Miracle, we thought that, for, like, we ran that. We never ran it before. So what happened was, backstory real quick. Our special teams coordinator, Alan Lowry, we had a game, because we went 13-3 that year. We had a game that we lost, and we were tossing the ball around, and it was just, you know how it looks. It was out of control. It wasn't put together right, and we were just tossing the ball. So from that point on, after that game, he put in this play, and we laughed and joked about it. We ran this thing every Friday and Saturday and never really took it seriously. Oh, this will never work. This is some bull, this is BS, right? And faithfully, I give him so much credit. He continuously worked on that thing every week. And it gets to one of the biggest games of in Tennessee football history. At this point, he implements. And the thing was, the person who was supposed to catch the pass from Frank Wycheck was Derek Mason. He's out with a concussion. They put Kevin Dyson in. We in a huddle. I remember it like it was yesterday. We in a huddle. He tells Kevin, just make sure you stand behind Wycheck. The ball, Wycheck's supposed to get the ball and throw it back with Kevin. Well, Lorenzo Neal, it's a squib kick. Lorenzo, it comes right to Lorenzo. Lorenzo picks it up, runs it over to Frank Wycheck. And then that's when Wycheck takes it and throw it to Kevin Dyson. And like as this is going on, we setting up a wall, right? Don't know what's going on.
You're holding the kicker.
Not yet. we don't know what's going on behind him. But it's in the stadium, it's definitely quiet. But as Kevin started turning that corner and we had them blocks set up, bro, the volume just kept going up. 15, right. 20, 40, 50, 100. By the time he hit that 10-yard line, you couldn't hear nothing.
Wow.
Loudest, I've been in a lot of loud stadiums. I might have been the loudest I ever heard a crowd get.
Wow. So of those people you were playing with, who had the best work ethic? You got Steve McNair, all these greats.
Eddie George.
I got to shout out Eddie. He was a beast, man. Eddie was a beast. Another guy, too, on the defense, Eddie Robinson.
Oh.
Yeah. Swag coach. He's swag.
He is swag.
Who is swag? Eddie Robinson. He taught me how to watch film. I still use it to this day in officiating. Like, he was like, before I started calling people my mentors, he was probably my first mentor, really, really mentor in football because of his work back at.
Wow. He is an intense coach. I will say that.
And he was an intense football player, too.
So now your career starts to transition to where you're coming off the field. How long were you off the field from playing to, you know, at that first little Pop Warner field?
Okay, so I retired officially in 2003. But in it was the spring of 2003. I was working out for other teams. I didn't have a team that I was playing for. And I shout this person out and give him a lot of credit. And when I see him, he knows. I tell him all the time. It's two people, really. So I go and work out for the Cincinnati Bengals, right downtown, easy drive, whatever. And this is Marvin's, I think, first or second year. And Leslie Frazier, because I'm a linebacker, he was working me out. And we still talk about it when I see him sometime. He was working me out. And like I was ready. I had a good workout. They told me that. But at the end of it, not like it was guys that were younger than me, rookies. I was in my seventh year at the time. I had just completed my seventh season. And young guys who I was killing. I had a great workout. And they told me that. But they wouldn't sign him. And Marvin told me, he said, look, we can get two rookies for the price of one of you to do the same thing you joined. Right?
Your minimum was too high.
Yes. So I asked him, Leslie Frazier was standing right there. I asked Marvin, I say, Marvin, does the rest of the league feel that way too? He said, yes. So at this time, I had a cell phone. When I leave, I walk out of, at that time, it was Paul Brown Stadium. I walk out of Paul Brown Stadium. I get on the cell phone, call my wife. Say, look, I'm done. Let's type up my retirement letter. We're going to send it.
You know how to use an email then, that right then.
Yeah,
right?
we had email. It was, I wasn't good at it.
Was it AOL or was it Hotmail?
Don't worry about that.
You gotta be thinking about it too. So you know, that's kind of how my career ended, man. And at that time, I was ready because I was probably ready a year and a half before that, because it was more. It wasn't as fun as it used to be. It was more work, and then the business side of it was wearing me down. Like I had an agent who was based on the West Coast, and he would get me a lot of jobs on the West Coast. He'd give me a lot of workouts on the West Coast. But you know, this is after 9/11 and everything, and I had a young family, and it was hard to get them to where I was because of the travel restrictions. I had my daughter was 2, and she was on formula, and you couldn't bring all that powder and stuff on the plane.
The world was crazy back then.
Yeah, it was crazy back then. So at that time, we were living where we are now, and in the Cincinnati area, and I was good. I was over it. I felt good about what I had done and accomplished at the time, and I was ready to be a stay at home dad. And that's what I did first. So I wanted to stay at home and help take care of the kids, because she did it all.
Right, right. Yeah.
So after that, I had a son in 2003, and I was just hustling with them. My wife had opened up a business in 2005. She was all in with that, Women's Clothing Boutique, Missy and Chat. She was all in with that, and I was with the kids. I had we drop them off at daycare. I think my daughter at the time was in kindergarten. Yeah, she was 5. So I was doing that. But
just rolling in minivan, huh? Had the minivan packed. Nah, was rolling.
Bro. It was SUV, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't disrespect him now. He ain't no
minivan.
Was that
another caravan?
Nah, bro. I was a full-time
Chevy. He was a navigator back then.
Basically, a full-time four-wheel drive Lexus LX 470.
See? Yeah.
Hey, and then true story, I rode that thing till the wheels fell off or the engine dropped out. But that was a family vehicle, 200+ thousand miles.
There we go.
But I did that, and as you know, it got a little old because like the baby talk, and you know, it got old after a while. I missed football, because like football has been a part of my life ever since I was 7 years old. Like, and I remember, we get into it a little bit, when I first started officiating, like I remember my wife used to be like, "That's like your mission." So backstory behind that is I started coaching, right? So I was coaching at my high school, and it was kind of on a volunteer basis, and some things had happened. Our head coach, who was a defensive coordinator, got hurt. He got rolled up on the sideline, actually broke his leg. So it catapulted a couple of us who was just kind of like volunteer guys. I became a defensive coordinator all of a sudden. I'm like, dang, I ain't got no coaching background, but I think I can handle this. And I, when it comes to stuff like that, like I believe it takes a village. So I reached out to one of my old coaches from my Tennessee Oiler, Tennessee Titan days, O'Neal Gilbert, right? And he had coached for University of Cincinnati, and he was living in town. So I was like, bro, they just made me defensive coordinator. I need you. I need you to be my second. So he came in, and we worked it, and I did just one season. And it was difficult because, like, my mentality was still in the NFL, and I'm trying to teach these kids like I was taught in national football.
Oh, Lord. And so analyze the situation.
Boy, it was like trying to teach Mandarin to 4 or 5 years old. You know, 4 or 5 years old.
You can't teach no Mandarin to no kid who barely is in school.
Bro, so that frustrated me. So I was like, you know
so
what?
You didn't leave on your own. Terry, we don't want you to come back.
How you know? You heard the story before.
Craven got the same story, but it was with Papa. Hey Terry, you're doing a great job. The kids love you, but we think we need to go a different direction.
Yeah, bro. That's basically
you're teaching the cloud cover too. Right. To some kids.
Curl the flat, baby. It's simple. I'm thinking it's simple. Yeah, man. So yeah, so my coaching career kind of ended like that. And I went back to kind of running the kids and everything for a little while. And then a buddy of mine, he was in Cincinnati. He was actually a patrol officer at the time for the city of Cincinnati. And he was working a detail at a middle school, junior high school, seventh or eighth grade. And he was talking to one of the officials, and this is at a basketball game. He was telling him, like, you know, you should come on in. We need people, whatever. So he gave me a call because we used to hang out at football games, the basketball games, and do all that stuff. And, you know, just because I played high school football with him, he was a good friend of mine, one of them guys from Purcell, very good friend of mine, like a brother. And, you know, we used to try to find something to get into. So he was like, let's do basketball. And I was like, I'll do anything except for football. Because I was like, I don't want to be – I did the element things. I've been to Green Bay in snowstorms and played in the rain and all that. I don't want to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? This was prior to field turf and all that good stuff. Because now, you know, back then, the fields were all grass and they had that big crown on it. And mud, you know, you ruin a pair of shoes like that. So I was like, let's do basketball. Well, all that was a bunch of talk at the time. Neither one of us did anything. So fast forward, that was like in the fall. Fast forward to the next summer, I'm bored out my mind. I don't know what to do. And I remember that conversation I had with him. And I get on the Ohio High School Athletic Association website on how to become a football official. And at this time, I was like, I want to get back to, because I was missing football too. I was missing that. I was jonesing for it, really. So I get on, and there's a number. I call it. Guy tells me it's a class starting tomorrow. It's like, all right, where at? And it was kind of in my area, but not kind of. So I ended up going to it, and that was the beginning. I signed up for it, you know.
Did you have to pay?
They hit you. Yeah. They hit you with the check the first day, huh?
Got you too.
Hey, first day, like I knew how to write checks at this time, so it was all right. It was all right, but the first day, yep, they hit me with the check, paid it, started going to the class, and this is how crazy it was, because I thought I knew a lot about football until I started officiating. I knew nothing, and it was almost like getting to know a person that you were in love with all over again. Like just imagine you think you know somebody and you in love with them already, and they do something that just makes you love them even more. And that's how it was when I started fishing.
Especially for you. I mean, you started when you was seven, you balled out in high school, you went to a premier university. I mean, you made it to a Super Bowl. You made it to the Super Bowl, then all of a sudden you're like, hold on, I've been with this chick all this time and I don't know nothing. What's your name?
The holding is?
And pause, because Ashanti, the rules were the rules. we didn't have all the stuff we had back then. It wasn't. Did we even have rough in the passer back then? I don't know.
Nah, yeah. He just either got up or he didn't.
It was in the book, but nobody called it.
I could leap the wedge. I was a wedge leap. You could leap the wedge. And you got kudos for doing that back then.
Right.
Nah. Ain't no three man. You staying three man together? No, that's foul.
Yeah. Can't even get two man no more nowadays. So now you go to the class. You in that first meeting.
Got that itch.
When did it click for you though? Like, oh, I love this. Like, oh, when it became that mistress, as your wife said.
No, so he found his wife again.
So the crazy part is, it clicked almost from day one. Like when I went to that class, because like I said, like when they gave you that mechanics and rules book, like at that time they were like little jet magazines, they were ugly. Yep. Like
the little three books, you had the rule book, the case yep. book, and the mechanics
my
book.
Face, but yep. 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 Absolutely. Yep. So having that book, I was just intrigued with it. And now mind you, I was a average student. Like I live by C's get degree. You know what I'm saying? So So when I started doing this football thing, it changed for me. So I'm like in the books hard. Like I want to know this stuff because, like I said, I thought I knew something about football, but I knew absolutely nothing, especially on the rules side of it. So it almost, I remember I was so excited the day we did measurements. Like, and mind you, like, I wasn't an umpire. I didn't start off as an umpire. Well, in high school, you work everything.
You're right.
And when we get to our, like, talk about college, I started on line of scrimmage, right?
Hold up, what?
Yes, bro. Yes. Because it was the only.
You learn everything position. There.
Right. So just when we got to learning how to do measurements in class, like you talking about being super excited, that was me. Like, that was it for me. So at that time, I didn't know, like nobody knew who I was because I wasn't like, hey, I'm Terry Kennedy. I used to play high school football right here.
They couldn't tell by the neck.
Man, I would know. At that time, I'd never forget. I had lost, I lost all that muscle, right? I wasn't doing the same football lifting as I was doing. Like, I was walking on the treadmill. At this time, walking on the treadmill, doing some curls, you know what I'm saying? That's about it. And, like, I wasn't telling people really who I was because I was still kind of in that frame of mind where I wanted people to
judge you off your ability.
Correct.
Your personality.
Correct. So I used to say this all the time when I would go talk to people. I was ashamed of my success, which is crazy for me to say that now. But back then, when I was coming up, it was always about being, especially like my dad, Coach Paterno, it was always about being humble and everybody else. Like, oh, I scored 6 touchdowns, but only way I was able to do it is because of my linemen, so they blocked long enough.
Oh, you was Al Bundy too?
Yeah, I have. Oh, I led my high school in receiving back in 1991. You know, I had 4 sacks because my defensive tackles crashed and they took the tackles. They took
on the blocks for you.
Yeah, you know, they took his attention away from me, you know, like that, you know. So I never really talked about myself. And then I get drafted and I'm like, you know, I got all these friends back home. And it's the cliche story. You know, I don't want nobody to think I'm better than me. I'm not. You know, I'm still Lil Terry from Kennedy Heights. So, you know, I didn't want anybody to kind of, you know, give me anything just because of my name and what I did in my football career. So I was quiet about it for a long time. But most of the guys, crazy part was, they already knew because the guys
who Google teaching, people didn't know how to Google.
Nah, Google wasn't that big back then.
I would have saw a thick neck dude. Like, man, this dude did something.
Now, my neck wasn't thick back then.
He was walking on the treadmill.
Speaking
he
of
got
that,
football, player neck.
Wait a minute, I'm going to tell you. This one dude who watched me come up through high school, followed my career in college, he seen me when I first started working like school ball, we'll call it that. He said, Terry, are you okay? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, are you sick? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, man, you so skinny now. You look like you lost a ton of weight. I said, nah, I just ain't working out like I used to. And that's what I mean. Like I lost that muscle.
I got you.
All that stuff. So, that was the thing. So I was just working ball, and this is when I get into, you know, talking about officiating and talking about those people who mean so much to me in officiating, because without them, I don't think I would have got the opportunities that I got, you know, because it's one thing. You get opportunities when you take advantage of those situations, but these guys helped me get them the opportunity, and I took it from there.
Did you know when you started where you wanted to end up, or you just wanted just something to do?
Nah, I like it was at stages, and I'm big on this. Be great where you at, right? So
you hear when I say that again, Ashanti didn't hear you.
I be great where you at.
Oh, right? Okay.
You that got was my that, Ashanti. Thing.
Hold up. That's not me. there's a lot of people, and we was at a camp that was trying to get to where Terry at, and it's like, hey, man, just be great. Like you, what you say about your son, Terry, if they ain't, if you ain't getting no playoff games, don't know, your local association right. don't know you,
right?
How you expect to get picked up by one of these?
Nah, but that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I like if you doing what you supposed to be doing and taking care of business, where you at? That stuff will get noticed.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And so, like, the first person, and y'all know, you know one particular guy. But the first person I shout out is a guy named Tom Burns. Now, he knew who I was from Jump Street because he was my first varsity referee. Not my first, he's my second, but the first one, Mike, it was a little different. But the story goes, when I got into, so in Ohio, you have to do 2 years and then test up to work varsity. Right. Everything before you test up is sub varsity, peewee, all the way down, right? You can work all that. You can't work Friday night varsity game, Saturday, whatever, varsity game. You cannot be a varsity official until you become a class one. That's 2 years. And then you got to take a what we call a move up test, right? So I worked them 2 years and I'm going to study sessions. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know when I was in college if I ever went to a study session. Ever. So I'm going to study sessions, right? Because there are other associations, and you got to belong to an association here in Ohio. There are other associations that are having study sessions that are getting their classes ready to take the move up test. So I go to another a study session because I don't technically belong to this association, but I'm a crash day study session. That's where I meet my man Mike Phillips at. Y'all know Mike.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tito Mike.
Mike. Yes, Tito Mike. My man, 5 grand. Love me some Mike Phillips, right? So I meet Mike there. So we getting ready. We take it, we get ready, preparing for this test, right? And that's the first time I meet Mike. And Mike's been on this journey with me from day one. So meet Mike, go to the study sessions and everything. All right, boom. We hit it off. Passed the test. I'm a class one official. Now I'm going to start working some varsity scrimmages, trying to get my name out there, because what happened is you kind of selling yourself. You're trying to get with a varsity crew. So what you do, you shadow crews that are already established. They might be looking for somebody to either substitute or take somebody's place, right? Because somebody else is moving on or whatever. So Mike's a pro at this. Mike was shadowing crews left and right. I'm not shadowing. I'm just going to the games. Watch. So what happened was all these people got hired, like from our classes, Mike's class and my class, on these varsity crew. Me and Mike was kind of like the only two who didn't get picked up. I was like, oh, that's crazy. So we were still going to scrimmages and everything. And Mike moved from shadowing other crews. He knew this guy named Tom Burns, right? Tom Burns said he was an assigner for a high school league. He said, I'm going to put you two together with some other people, and I'm going to give y'all some games, right?
Found so that money, man.
Right. So he put us together with another crew. And plus, like, every game for me, and I'm 100% honest when I say this, was a state championship. But his conference wasn't that premier conference. They were, like, small varsity. They were small schools. They were very small schools in the country.
So you're driving.
So we, yeah, man. I'm talking about cornfield. Like, we out there, like, you got the football stadium and the sideline and the cornfield right behind, right? Wow. So that's what we started off with. So we put our crews in Ohio are 5 men. So we put together this crew, and we out here just hustling that first year. We didn't even have 10 games. We probably had, I think we had like 4 or 5 games, and then the rest of our schedule was kind of filled out with they were varsity games, but they weren't OSHA certified games, Ohio High School Athletic Association certified games.
Oh, y'all had what's that little team that started and doing games and got blew out?
Yeah, what? I don't know the name. I can't.
It was a name. Yeah, some of the started high school, started up.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about, though. Yeah, those type games, right? Gotcha. So we had those things, right? So finished the year out, and I had worked a couple of games. Didn't know it at the time, but I was kind of going through a kind of interview process with this particular guy because they were looking for an umpire. And at this time, I was working I worked in every position, but my main position was they was looking for a traditional umpire. So the night of our last game together, this hodgepodge crew, we were at this restaurant, right? And I'm sitting at the table, Mike's at the table, and the other three guys at the table. So they start telling the referee, like, one guy said, like, y'all take this too serious. I was just in it to, you know, have a good time. Y'all want to move up and do varsity games. He's like, that ain't for me. I just want to do pee wee ball. So he quit. And then Mike was looking all weird, and Mike goes, yeah, I got offered a position on another crew, so I'm leaving.
Wow. Oh, he was flash? Right. That's a five heartbeat.
Wow.
So Mike was so I'm looking at the referee. His name is Mike too. And as everybody was saying like bye, like his face was just, I mean, he was sinking in his chair, right?
Like my whole crew going away. What am I gonna do?
And then the other guy, he was moving to Indiana, so he was leaving anyway. Like he was leaving, period. And then it was just me and the referee, and I'm sitting up here like, but damn. This is crazy. So we kind of, so at the end of the night, we was dispersed and we kind of hugged. Now, mind you, I got my third kid, right, at this time, my daughter, Taryn, and she's a baby. So, of course, I get a phone call. I got to go to Walmart to get some diapers and formula on my way home. So I'm telling Mike, the other Mike Phillips, the referee, I'm like, we good. Look, we going to be fine. We just going to find three guys to replace them. We going to keep this boat rolling. Man, so I get to Walmart, and then I get a phone call from Tom Byrne. Tom goes, we want you to be our umpire. So I'm like, absolutely, because Tom, he was a veteran white hat in Ohio. And actually, he worked in Ohio and Kentucky. Everybody knew him. He got some of the premier games in high school all the time. Like, he had worked, the one that I can, right off the top of my head, was quarterback from Ohio State. He went to Wayne High School. And they were playing Moeller High School from Cincinnati. Shoot, what is his name? But they would get those premier games that would be on like the Kirk Herb Street Classic and all that stuff, right? So you will see them on ESPN. Exactly. So he called me. They wanted me. And I was like, at this moment, I'm not about to call, not Mike Phillips, but our referee, Mike, from the other, right, from the
that
crew.
That man's going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, because I was like, it ain't going to be a good night for him. So I'm going to wait, call him on Monday, right? So I go home, take diapers. I'm all excited and whatever. So leading into that next year, so fast forward, next football season, me and Mike is like road dogs. We trip in the scrimmages. Like Mike is with his new crew. I'm with my new crew. We still getting ready. So the same referee, Tom Byrne, who picked me up on his high school crew, he was like, I'm putting together a college crew. And this is before I even worked my first high school varsity. My high school varsity, first actual high school varsity game with him. He say, I'm putting together this college crew because there's a school here locally, Thomas Moore, that's going into this league, which at the time it was the President's Athletic Conference. He was like, and they looking for local people because like most of the schools were in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. They were kind of far and they didn't want to send guys all the way from them states for like, I think at the time we were getting paid like 100 and something, maybe, you know, and then they would have to stay overnight and get a hotel, you know, all that stuff. So right. He's like, they asked.
They want local guys to save money.
Right. So we did that, and we had a game up in actually on the pro. So we worked a Friday night, got in a car, and drove to West Virginia to work a college game.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Let's stop. Did you know the rules?
Man, nope. Because you know it's crazy. Because
he coming from a Federation book.
Right. Right. And you know what's crazy? It was crazy was I was trying, I didn't have a college rule book because we weren't, what's the thing? You got to pay dues to it now. What was that?
You didn't have
association.
Like, you didn't have the CFO like we have it now.
Right, right, right. So, we weren't on the CFO. So I was trying, what I was trying to do was I was trying to learn the rules off, like at this, like you had the web at this time, a rule book off the web, but it and then I was trying to compare and contrast them to the high school rules and it didn't work. I didn't know anything. So I worked that first game as an umpire and it was a disaster, but it was so much fun. Like,
how many running backs you take out?
Man, you know what? And at this time, I was when the guard would pull, like I'm lined up on the right over, it would be the right guard, but I would be on my left. He would pull and I would go with him like a linebacker. It was crazy. Like, because we actually had a guy, a guy at the game who was taking notes on, like, and it wasn't a disaster, but I knew I had a long way to go, right? And it was so cool because, like I said, Tom Burns, he gave me that opportunity. And then we come back the next week and we doing like a national televised game on ESPN. Like, and this is all in one season. I'm like, I'm loving it. Yeah. So, like, and that's when, right after that next spring, that's when I was kind of introduced. I mean, they had, like, Honig's had a camp locally, but we would do, like, clinics locally. And we had, it's the OAFO, the Ohio Football Officials Association. They were locally, and it was a group of college, a group of college officials, and they belonged to this association. Association was 100 years old, and you got a lot of guys from Ohio who belong. Gary Arthur is one that comes to mind. Bob Wagner is another guy. They all belong to this association at one time. So I would go to the study groups and try to learn college rules through that. And we would go to the different clinics they would have. Me and Mike would ride together, and they would be like, you know, sometimes we have to ride an hour, sometimes we have to ride a little longer, you know, just to get to these meetings, to turn around, come right back home. When I say that boy was my road dog, he was my road dog. So fast forward to the Big Ten was having, okay, let's go back. So at that time, like, my goal was to be the premier high school official, premier high school umpire, and work like the big Division
One, big state game.
Yeah, the big Division One high school games first, right? Yeah. Because like in our area, it's like most areas, Catholic school are like the dominant school at that time. And to work one of those games, if you can work one of them high school games, like, you know, they see, it ain't like Texas, but they see, you know, 10,000 at these games. You know, they got teams coming from out of town. And like I said, my referee was one of the more dominant referees in the game. So he was getting a lot of those games. So like I said, we would be working at the University of Cincinnati because that's when they could have games in old stadiums and stuff like that. So we would do teams from out of town. I remember I worked Sean Clifford before he went to Penn State, his junior and senior year, like name dropping here. I worked a couple guys who are like, which is crazy, that are in the league. I worked what's the running back who used to be with Chicago?
He in Philly, right?
Johnny Carter?
Yeah, he used number 32.
Salam?
No, not that.
He's talking about now.
I worked him when he was in high school. He ended up going to Iowa State.
Montgomery, you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, Montgomery. Oh. That's who.
You old, bro.
I worked him when he was in high school. So that's the cool part. Like, a lot of these guys that are in the league, not a lot, a couple of these guys that are in the league now, I worked when they was in high school. So, like, I see them. I'm like, Cincinnati? Yep. What's up? Had you when you was in high school. And they be like, of course they don't remember who I am. But, you know, they were young at the time. But so
yeah, you never remember officials in high school.
Right. I don't. And I come across officials all the time. They retired now. But they used, when I first started, they were like, I remember having your game. Like, okay. So going back to Burns, we'd be working these games, and now we work in college games. So now I'm doing one of the big Division III games here called the Bridge Bowl, where you have Thomas More playing Mount St. Joe. I'm working them games, and now I'm getting into this college thing. I'm really starting to like this college thing, right? But I'm still in Division III. And like I said, me and Mike are hitting the road, trying to get better, going to these clinics and stuff like that. And then they also started a kind of a indoor football league. It was like the ultimate indoor football league. It was like if you got the AFL 1, AFL 2, this was like negative.
Like AFL 45.
Like cash your check, like cash your checks as soon as possible, because we don't know if
and this before play. The picture was, you had to take a picture, so you had
right.
to
right. So yes, absolutely.
Get your money from the snack bar before you leave.
Bruh. So like I was doing that stuff and just trying to get as much field time as I possibly could get, right? So all right, fast forward, we go to Indianapolis, because The Big Ten or the COC, they would have a clinic for really beginning officials. But me and Mike kind of slivered our way in to getting to go, because like we both were working college ball. So we get up there, and that's where I meet like Sean Smith, Brian Neal, name dropping. I meet a bunch of guys now who are in the league.
Right.
They were like fresh in the Big Ten.
Right. And they had Big Ten. Right.
Right. They had this officiate clinic. So, of course, everybody, Bill Carollo, Bob Wagner, all those guys are there. And, you know, with these opportunities, you don't get in front of these guys a lot. So you use them for networking opportunities. Right. I wasn't big with that. Mike's in that business. So he's talking and, you know, getting to know these guys a little bit. So he got invited to Akron, where they had like this kind of combine for, you know, lower division players. And they would have officials officiate these kind of 7-on-7 games. And I tried to get in on it. I went right to Wagner. Wagner was like, we don't have no room. Like, it's all booked up. So like, dang it. All right.
No rooms at the end?
No rooms at the end. So Mike goes, right? And the cool part is we take care of one another.
Yeah.
So Mike is at this thing, and somebody, I'm going to get to his name, gets up on stage, a guest speaker, and starts talking about, you know, the development of young officials, grassroots program, yada, yada, yada. He works for the NFL. And he says, had Mike's antenna raised, we're looking for entire players. His name is David Coleman, right? But Mike goes up to him. Mike goes, you know, introduces himself and tells him all about me. He goes, here's my information, have him call me. Mike comes home that Sunday. He calls me, tells me about all this, gives me his information. So I go, okay, cool, I'm gonna give him a call. So that Monday, I reach out to Coleman, leave a message. He calls me back Tuesday, because it was a little later in the afternoon when I reached out to him. He calls me. I give him my, because at this time, I'm writing officiating resumes. And really, I'm trying
all
to.
In. You done drunk the Kool-Aid.
Right. So, like, I've worked all the high school games. I'm still doing high school, loving it. But now I'm deeper in Division III, because I done left Tom's Division III thing that he had, because we were like independent contract. Well, we all independent contractors, but we were like mercenaries. Like, all right, we got a game here in Kentucky, like, which is right across the bridge from Cincinnati. Y'all work that for us, so we won't have to send somebody down here for it. Okay, cool. You know, it's that type of thing.
But y'all didn't have no set schedule. It's like, hey, y'all waiting by the phone Wednesday night. Like, we going somewhere?
absolutely. That's how it. And like I said, I skipped a couple of things, but we work in spring ball for these schools, everything. I get in, I go ahead and make a move into another actual conference, right? So I get in, but I don't get in as an umpire. I get in as a line of scrimmage official. And that's why I tell y'all, like, my first, so I was an umpire in Division III my first year, but it was kind of like a mercenary. I took games, when we took games as a crew when we could, we ain't work a whole schedule. Second year, after going to a couple of them local clinics, I met some Division III assigners. And basically what I did was reached out to them. So we had about three of them. Reached out to all three of them, of course, because like back then you would send a resume. You would send them to their actual email, not to the conference, but their actual email.
Yeah.
And my thing was, what I tried to do was I attached a photo of myself to that, like a business photo, like with a resume, and I would mail the packet into them. And
in too deep now.
Right, yeah.
Right.
He didn't know how to use a fax machine, but he know how to scan.
Some old school days. That's how you used to have to do it back in the day.
So that's how I got noticed by one. He was like, I was at a clinic, and he was like, he didn't know who I am. I was, but he recognized me from my photo and my officiating resume that I sent into him. So I that's why I tell people, like, when you, like, sometimes I know what they say. Sometimes you want to do something that's going to set you apart a little bit. So I ended up getting hired in the Ohio Athletic Conference, which is a D3 conference. So I was working line of scrimmage, but I was kind of like a swing official. So when somebody needed off or something like that, he put me in. And I worked the whole season like that. The next year, I asked him, which was kind of bold. I didn't know any better. I was like, I want to be on the crew. I was like, I want to be on the crew, and I want to be an umpire. And he was like, I don't have a crew for you, but I could work you in an umpire. But like we all know, there's opportunity in other places. So
right.
Because of the relationships I had made by doing some of this stuff, we had the North Coast Athletic Conference, and it was another D3 conference in Indiana. They kind of shared me. So I ended up working all three of them conferences.
Man, you was on the block hard. Time.
Oh, you don't understand. So
half game will work.
Right. So here we go. Fast forward, meeting David Coleman. And like I said, I told him my story. So basically, he liked everything that I was saying. And that's when they told me they had a program they were starting. Like, it was the Football Officiating Academy, FOA. And they were having that Thursday, people come to Tom Beer. And at this time, I had never went out the state of Ohio, except for Indiana, which is a neighboring state, to a clinic. And this clinic, as we all know, is on the field.
That's big boy.
Right.
Big boy time, right? And that's where everybody comes.
Everybody.
So I fly out, like I told him, true story. I said, let me have a second to talk to my wife, because at this time we got three kids and they young. And I'm like, I got to leave her in the middle of the week, and you want me to fly out tomorrow, like come to Baltimore and
hold up. What? Yeah. I just got that part. Yeah. You leaving that week for the camp?
Bruh, it was like one day. So this was Tuesday. I had Wednesday, and then I'm out Thursday morning. Like, that's how quickly it went. Right. Wow. Right. That's why I tell you, like, I will do anything for Mike. Feel it, right, man. Anything. Right. Because he brought me that information, which kind of got me over that hump. Because from there, right, I fly out, I meet all these people that we know and see every year who were at the top of their game, somewhere in the NFL, somewhere in the Big Ten. And at this point, I tell you, all I wanted to be was in the COC. Like, because I'm from Southwest Ohio, one of my mentors, Bobby Segers, worked 22 years in the COC. It wasn't a COC at the time, but he worked like 20 plus years in the Big Ten. He went up through the ranks. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to be in the Big Ten. That's all I thought, like, especially, right, coming up. Because I, like I said, I was kind of following the way he did things. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer here in the state of Ohio.
As far plus, as that's what you grew up watching as a kid, right? Big Ten ball.
His dad worked my game. Like, the guy is the greatest of all time. I got a story about him too. So here I go. I'm flying out to Baltimore. I see all these people that, like, the crazy part is, who was the CFO? Oh, guy before Shaw.
You talking Reddings? About Reddings, oh. Rogers Reddings.
Rogers Reddings, yeah. So mind you, like he's there, and the killer part is you have never seen, I have never seen Rogers Reddings' face ever.
Just heard that voice.
The voice. As soon as he started to speak, I knew exactly who he was. It was stuff like that. You know, you seeing all these people that you heard about, meeting all these new people and coming full circle. You know, I had met Al Jerry, who at that time worked the Super Bowl.
The legend.
The legend.
Five times.
Yep. He worked the Super Bowl that I was in, number 34.
He worked the Super Bowl that you were in. That's right.
Correct. Byron Boston was in that game.
Yep.
Who am I missing? Ernie France was in that game. And the way I found out about that, I'm sitting at a table. Now, this is my first time at Tom Beer. I'm sitting at the table, and I'm looking at Ernie's hand, and he got that Super Bowl ring on. I see them Roman numerals. I don't know Roman numerals like I know Roman numerals. The 34 stands out to me because that was the Super Bowl I played in. And I said, I got a ring with that same Roman numeral. You say, this is my Super Bowl ring. I said, well, you officiated me. And we kicked it off from that point in time. And then the one person that I met that set me on my way was the great Ken Dollar. Ken Dollar was at that Tom Beard, that first Tom Beard I went to. And he started speaking to me about, you know, the SIAC because he was Harold Mitchell's second in command.
I was about to say, Harold was in charge of the SIAC back then. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Mitchell was in China on vacation. I'll never forget it, man. And Ken was like, I'm going to take a good look at you. And if you any good, I'm going to let Harold know about you. And this is what it is. We got two schools coming to the SIAC in your area. Central State and Kentucky State. We're going to have a mini clinic up at Central State on this day. I'm going to get an email inviting you to it. I want you to be there. That's how that went down.
Wow.
So fast forward, I go to that mini clinic. And that's
when you had the shirt off, your hat to the back.
Shirt off, hat to the back. Like I was like, you know, like old school athletes. That's, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., all the hat to the back shirt. Right. You know what I'm saying?
How was that introduction to Mr. Mitchell?
Young man, can I speak to you for a second? And I'm thinking, at this is like the very first time I'm meeting Harold Mitchell. So he said, it's inappropriate for you to sit here and have your hat on back and your shirt off and your pants kind of hanging down. He say, perception. That's when I learned the word perception. Perception is everything. You got a woman out here to see you like this, or athletic director or a coach, perception is you don't care. And I'm sitting up here like, why? Why they think that? Because it's just perception. You're sitting up here like you chilling, like you're not ready to go. I was like, okay. So I straightened up real quick, turned my hat around, put my shirt on, zipped it up, tucked it in. I thought I was ready to go until he had us come out on that field and lined us up like soldiers.
Let me see how you look.
Hey, wait a minute. He did. He went up and down the line looking at him. It was almost being like being in roll call. Like
was this the first time somebody ever took like that you detail to how your uniform was presented? That for you?
Absolutely. Because after that, and I'll tell a story, because after that, when I was going to the, and I do this now, it was all about the eye test. See what I'm saying? Like, right, I remember I had a clinician down in Miami because I went to Austin 34's camp a couple times. He said, ain't nobody really standing out because everybody's uniform kind of looked the same, kind of sloppy. Everybody, you know, said what you need to do is take them shirts to a tailor or get them smaller and make them fit you. And I was like, huh, that's interesting because I ain't never think about that. And then to go back to what Mr. Mitchell said, you know, it kind of changed my perspective on things. So, you know, he had us, I remember he had us run, I guess it was kind of like a mile around the field, because the field, like on the edges of the field, he wanted to watch us
run. That mile.
Yeah,
he does.
He wanted to watch us backpedal. We was doing all this movement, right? So we worked a couple, it was spring for Central State. It was like they spring ball practice or whatever. And unlike that's why Harold Betty, all them cats came down from Detroit. People came down from, you know, upstate Northeast Ohio. People came from everywhere for this. Mr. Mitchell picked about four guys, ooh, I think. They must have invited 40 people. Because like I said, we had a mini clinic. We were in a classroom, $10 led all that stuff. And they had the AD come and speak to us, the head coach. And we went over film. And then, like I said, we got on the field and worked a little bit. And you could kind of tell who they were looking at. Mr. Mitchell pulled me aside and basically told me he wanted to offer me a position. Right.
Son, I got
to
offer you a position. Yeah.
and if you know Mr. Mitchell, he said, I know you up this way. He said, if you accept this, you're just not going to work Kentucky State and Central State. You're going to have to travel.
You're going to have to travel. Yeah.
And you know, I was so excited about the opportunity. Like, I was like, fine. Because, like, around in my area, the COC, which is the College Football Officiating Consortium, which is Missouri Valley, MAC, and the Big Ten, in that order. Like, the Big Ten is at the top. Like, that's what, like, all my study groups and the meetings locally, that's all they thought about. That's all they worried about. They didn't want to get outside their comfort zone, in my opinion.
So that had to be different for you to do that going into that study group.
Right, because I had to do something different.
Yeah.
Because it was quagmire. It was just, you know, right in this area, everybody was trying to get to that level, that, you know, that thing. Because some of them were in it, some of them were waiting to get in it. And I was at that time, they weren't interested in me. And I let them know all the time right now.
Oh, you stunting on them, huh?
Oh man, ouch, all the time.
I was in your backyard, huh?
Right. So with that, I would always think.
What happened to that humbleness that you had to grow up with?
Now? That's out the window. I'm older now. And I had Mr. Mitchell as one of my guys. I learned from Mr. Mitchell. Tell them like it is and tell them what's on your mind. They know exactly where I stand at this point. That's a whole nother story. He hired me, and my thought process, I was kind of forward thinking too, because at that time he had the SIAC. And I was like, if I want to keep hustling and working, like, he also had the swag.
Right. He had the swag as well. Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, that's kind of a stepping stone. Like, do well here, maybe get there. So, man, and I'm going to tell you, he put me with a crew, man, of some of the best people. Right. And I've been lucky. Man, I'm telling you, throughout my whole career, I've been with some good folk, right? And he put us together. Our veteran white hat, his name is Stan, I'm sorry. He has spent some time with Mr. Mitchell in the SEC. He surrounded Stan with a bunch of young, hungry, up-and-coming officials.
Them young wolves.
Sean Purdy, me, Matt Hill, Ben Cole, Spencer Lee Bailey. I said Sean Purdy, who was on. Oh, and Alexion Clout. Was that seven? Am I missing somebody? That was seven.
I won, Cal. I went to all of them. So
So we was all young and hungry, right? And that was one of them years we had. It was just the best time learning experience. Oh man, I call it. That was my chitlin circuit because
it was the chitlin circuit, bro. You can't call it that. It was the chitlin circuit, bro.
I'm telling you. So the first game we had was in South Georgia. It was hot too, man. Oh my God, it's so hot. So I fly in, and at this time, right. I'm stacking my, I'm stacking paper because Mr. Mitchell already told me I was going to have to travel. So what I did was I would work Pee Wee games like crazy. I would, so leading up, I'm working Pee Wee games. I'm working high school games. I'm still working high school with the same crew. I'm doing all that. Just trying
and
to stack
leaving on Saturday morning.
Yes. Well, not Saturday. I would fly out. I would work Thursday. So our public high school, some of our public high schools play on Thursday.
Okay.
So I would leave out on Friday to get down to Atlanta.
But still getting them snaps and still getting snaps and stacking checks.
Right. So I would fly out and get down to Atlanta on Friday. And most of our crew lived in that Atlanta area, three of them. In around Atlanta, Sean Purdy, Lexion Cloud, they lived in Atlanta. So they would scoop me up from the airport and then we drove, right? I hop in a car, then we drive to the location. And at that time, the SIAC would give you one night in the hotel.
So at least they gave you one night. That's better than at least most.
That's what I'm saying. So I never, this is our first guy. So we driving down 75 South Georgia and it's a like, it's, I think it was a sobriety check, right? So Sean, he works for like Georgia Lighting and Power. I don't know exactly what it is, but he had all this equipment in the back. Like we had all these black duffel bags.
Oh Lord. Y'all running, y'all with the car. Hey,
it looked crazy, man. And so I'm up front, Sean driving, Lex Clowers is in the back, right? And we on our way to our football game. And mind you, Purdy got his work equipment. I got luggage. Everybody got luggage. And it's like duffel bags. Like when you said, it looked crazy.
Just looked so bad. It wasn't a good sight.
Right. So they pull it, like they waving everybody over. It's a sobriety checkpoint. This is week one for me in the SI shit. So they pull us over on the side of the road and they flashing lights. Inside the car, you know, me and Sean up front, Lex in the back. All of a sudden, you hear no seatbelt, and they start waving us over. And I'm like, everybody looking around, like Sean got his seatbelt on, I got my seatbelt. And we looking in the back, Lex ain't got no seatbelt on.
Oh Lord!
So
they looking that deep, huh?
Bro, wait,
they trying to figure out how to search.
You gotta forget. Don't forget, we in the SUV with duffel bags in the back. Like it's at least five black duffel bags back there.
And three of them.
And three of us in the car. I'm the only one with out of state driver's license. I got Ohio. Everybody else got Georgia. You the kingpin.
Right. We got a big time.
You know who running it.
Bro, and if you know the 75 corridor. We on 75. 75 corridor is one of them from you can go from Florida to dang near up to Michigan.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. That's a great highway to drive.
Right. Right.
Family.
So okay, yeah, you're right. So I'm sitting up there and I'm thinking already, I'm screwed. I'm like, we ain't gonna make it to the game. Like it's Friday night. I mean late Friday night. They picked me. I took a late flight out. And I'm like, I'm screwed. So they hit Lex with a seatbelt ticket. He gets a seatbelt ticket. They don't even search the bags. We got all these bags in the back. They more worried about the seatbelt ticket. And I remember sitting there, and the only thing I can think of was the five heartbeat. And as we sitting in the car, I just start going, I got nothing but love for you, baby.
It's like, when they got pulled off by the park.
Man, it was crazy. And like, we got this saying on my crew now, we call it gifts. Do it for the stories, and you know how it is, man. Like we work a lot of football games,
but those stories,
man. I got so many stories that
right
working that SIAC Slack, man. That was some of the greatest times I've had in officiating.
How was it?
That was like
you getting used to them bands,
man. You know what? The bands were outstanding. But the scenery was even better. Like I work with a guy named Stan, and Stan old school, man. He's scanning. He make it look like he was working the field, but he's scanning the crowd. And then the aromas coming from all the tailgates, the barbecue and everything else. Like I always say, those years, the 2 years I was in the SWAC, and then before that, the SIAC, like, got me ready, because you had to focus throughout, because it was so easy. Your concentration could be so easily broken by anything and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only that, you had to be a great dead ball official when you worked in them leagues, because that's when everything was happening.
So wow. Now you do your years on that circuit, and then you jump to the American after that, correct?
So no. What happened was, while I was working, I like we talked about working in a bunch of conferences, right? So when I'm in a SWAC, I'm actually a supplemental official in American and in the MEAC. So I'm working in three different conferences.
You hold up, bro. You just put your whole life on the line. You was on a stroll,
bro.
You was on that officiating stroll.
Yes, bro. I'm telling you. When I knew it was real, so I got a game. This is another one. I got a game. So mind you, remember I talked about I had to work all these pee wee games and high school games on Thursday, middle school games in the middle of the week.
Straight cash, homie.
I was supplementing my income to get these flights. And at that time, now I'm a snob on the airline I fly. But at that time, I was flying any
flight roulette.
Any Una airline I could get on, Southwest,
Spirit.
I don't even think Spirit was in existence back then, but it was like AirTran before they bought out, or Southwest bought out.
AirTrans, right?
Yeah, I was on United. I was on anything that was cheap that could get me where I was going, right? So, here I am. I'm ready to go to, I think it was Alabama. It was one of the Alabama schools, Alabama A&M or Alabama State, one of them. I'm all ready to go, and I get a call. This in the middle of the week now, like on a Tuesday. I get a call from Tom Simonet, NFL official. He had taken over the SIAC, he had taken over the MEAC at that time. So I was on his supplemental list. I had went and did spring games for him down at Hampton, all that stuff, right? So I didn't think he called it his first 21 or something like that. First 49, that's what it was, because I think he had seven crews, 7 times 7 is 49, right? I hope my math is correct. He had called him his first 49, right? And those were the people he was going to use. But we all know, Simon, that things happen, right?
Yes.
So I'm on my way, ready, thinking I'm going to work my SWAT game. Get a call from Simon that says, you're going to South Carolina State. I go, whoa, Paul. I go, I got a game this week.
Don't worry about it.
Right. He said, well, you need to talk to Mr. Mitchell. I said, okay, I'll call you back. Hung up the phone, called up Mr. Mitchell. Now you don't call Mr. Mitchell.
No, you don't.
But he already knew, like, he knows everything ahead of time. He's like Mr. Webb. So I call him. He already expected my call. So I go, I just got a call from Tom Simonet. He say, stop me right there. I know. It's good. I said, but wait a minute, Mr. Mitchell. I got a plane ticket to go to one of the Alabama schools. In Mr. Mitchell form, he go, well, you're going to have to eat that. do you not know the effort I put in to get that ticket? But the good thing about that was it was on Southwest.
Oh, okay. So at least you got credits back then.
That was my only saving grace. So, like, long story longer, I ended up going to South Carolina State. And, like, I split that season. So I worked in the SWAC. I worked in the MEAC, and then I was going up and working games in American. So I think I worked a total of 12 games, and I worked 4 in each conference, which was crazy. So, like, it was crazy because you would go from, like, say we working TSU in Houston, where we eating our pregame meal off of hot plates that Goosby from Dallas, he would bring in hot plates and make sausages and all that stuff, having pregame in our hotel room, to where I would go to the American and we eating at some Italian or steak place. And I'm like, this is totally different.
Right.
So, you know, I did that 1 year. And then, so I always say that, like, because of the eighth official, I catapulted. Like, at that time, people were, I mean, we knew it was coming. It was called the alternate official. The Big 12 was the first to use it. That was Walt Anderson. If I'm not mistaken, that was Walt Anderson's baby. I remember watching the game where I forget who it was at the time. They had that A on their back, and it was like a jackrabbit just going, grabbing that ball, going.
Michael Cooper was one of the first people to work the A position.
Yeah, so I remember watching the game or whatever and not thinking that it would, you know, take over. But because I was athletic, whatever, a lot of opportunity came. So conferences, Division I conferences, grabbing people, like just grabbing. And I had already been kind of auditioning for Macaulay in the American. That year that I was working those three conferences, I was a traditional umpire. So I was behind the defense still. I hadn't worked any center judge. I worked my four games in American as a traditional umpire. And he, after that season, you know, I'm going to rewind because this was the cool part. Like, so I'm working the SIAC. And this before I got into the SWAC. I got to tell this story because this was one of them things where I didn't know what to do. And we talked about being great where you're at. So I worked a lot of high school ball, and I got some notoriety from working high school ball. And I got an opportunity, you know, everybody go to work a state championship. So I got that. Like, if you're on crew one in the state of Ohio, guaranteed a state championship. Don't know what division, but you're guaranteed a state championship. So I was on crew one. I worked first two, I think it was my first two games, and then a playoff assignments came out for division two. And you know how it is with the playoff assignments for division two. You don't know if you're going to get one or not, right?
Right.
So I wasn't too worried about it at the time. But then we ended up getting one. The SIAC got a game. So, you know, at the time in Ohio, if you had to give back the game, you lost all your games.
Ooh.
Right?
So that made no sense.
That took me out of my state championship, right? So I was torn. What do I do? Do I call Mr. Mitchell and be like, oh, I don't want to lose my state championship?
Son, you're going to have to eat that.
You're going to have to eat that.
So what I did was, like I told y'all about one of my mentors, a good friend of mine, Bobby Sager. Bobby is so cool. Like, he worked in the Big Ten for 20 plus years. Call Bobby. Like, at this time, me and Bobby talk all the time. We still do. Call Sagers. I go, Sagers, I got this issue. I say, look, I'm going to have a state championship game, but I got this Division II playoff game. And if I give my state champ, if I give my later playoff round games back, I'm a loser. Oh. He said, Terry, well, yeah, he said, Terry, it's simple. He said, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a college official or do you want to be a high school official? And in that moment, I knew. I was like, I'm done. High school career is done.
It's over.
So that's when I kind of just went. Like, I didn't completely step out of the high school thing because I would get, like, the crazy part is I would still get those, like, early season games in late August before
we
kicked up. Oh, man, on ESPN game. Oh my gosh. I would still get those games out because he, you know, my man Bobby would assign them and he'd just like, all right, I want you on the game. And I would work those games. And then the next week, I'm working an American game. Like, my first American game was Baylor at SMU, and Baylor was number three in the country. Well, the week before, I was working St. X and Don Bosco from Jersey or something like that.
Wow.
On national TV. And I'm sitting up here like I'm about to work another national TV game the next week. That was crazy. But yeah, so I ended up getting that opportunity in America. Terry McCauley hired me. I'll never forget it. Early December. And it's rare to get that call in early December, but because of the way things were going with center judge position, because at first center judge, it was just a test. And then the CFO, the powers that be with them, ended up just saying, you know what, we gonna do it, but conference games only. Remember that?
Yep.
And yep. So
the SEC was one of the first ones that's go
right
conference only.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. Right. So it started that way, and then it just went crazy. So once they got that okay, they started hiring people. So I worked that supplemental year in American as a traditional umpire. I think it was in 2015, I became a center judge, and he hired me on the staff.
I got it. You never asked Mr. Mitchell on to move you?
Move me where?
You remember you asked your other? Yeah,
umpire.
Dog, you, man, come on now. Like
Everybody know not to ask Mr. Mitchell nothing.
Nothing.
You can't send him an email.
Nah. Like forever, I was afraid. Like, and he liked that too. He'll tell you. He'll definitely tell you. Like, he liked that people are afraid of him.
Yeah.
So forever, like, and that was the thing. Stan, my referee back in the SIAC, he didn't have a cell phone, and you always had you always had to contact Mr. Mitchell, the referee, after a game. And the thing was, Ben Cole would give Stan his cell phone. So if Mr. Mitchell ain't answer right away, he'd give Ben back the cell phone. No, it's just to report what happened during the game, which most of the time was nothing. And Ben would be shaking.
Son, speak, son, speak. That's what Mr. Mitchell hit you with.
Correct.
You all right, man? It look like you walked to the wilderness.
Man, y'all got me on my cell phone, and my juice is running out, and I don't want y'all to lose me.
So you got so many stories.
We appreciate it. Nah, it's good though. I mean, what I really like about everything that you talk about is that you still feel the appreciation that you have everything, Terry, that you as confident as you are now, because you know now you're in the three letter, you're doing your thing, and you are excelling to be one of the best at your position in a short period of time.
Yeah, right.
that confidence level, you gotta have it up there to be at that top level, because I mean, it's this dog eat dog. But in all of your stories and listening to you, you still feel the appreciation that you have for everybody coming through. You had your ride or die mic that you still grinding with still to this day, even though you went a whole totally not separate path, but a accelerated path, and he has been able to, along with Tom Burns, your old high school guy that just got you connected back then. So that's what's really cool about getting to know you and listening to you today, talk about all this. So now, because we know we're on a time difference, and I want to get to the point, because I've heard you tell me this before, and I want everybody else to hear it, because the call is always the best thing. You're in the American, things is going good. I believe you was at work. You get the call from the three letter. How did that go?
Well, yeah. So, backstory: I had been in the ODP at the time, this was a developmental program, and it had been a few years. And with that process, there are steps. And at that point, when I worked a preseason game, kind of knew something was going to happen. I was either in or out, basically. So that spring, I mean, and like I said, I got that New York area code in my phone. So I'm sitting at work doing what I do. I'm in a community center. I'm looking after our young youth from our community, making sure they're having a good time, everything is safe and inviting in a community center. And that New York area code come up. I was like, oh boy, here we go. And it was Al Riveron. Al got to talking, and he said, "We got some good news and some not so good news. Which one you want first?" And I go, "I'll take that not good, so good news first, because the good news might make my day a little bit better." And God rest his soul, I could hear Wayne Mackey in the background just snickering. So Al goes, "Well, let you know you're out the ODP." I go, "Kind of figured that." Out the ODP to bring you into the National Football League.
Oh.
Once again, if we go back to my draft day in 1996.
Call your sister.
Nah, man, I try to be cool in the fan. Try to be so cool, man. And I'm sitting, I'm answering, I'm bouncing, but I'm trying to keep my voice calm. You know, I'm excited. So, you know, they talked a little more, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And they went to that whole spiel. I ain't hear nothing. You heard me? Like, that's how it was. When I hung up that phone, I jumped so high. And the only reason I know is because we video everything at my job. So I went and I pulled that video up, and I watch it every year. It was one of, besides, you know, getting married, my kids, a lot of different things. You can add it to that collection of one of the most happiest days of my life.
Wow.
I'll never forget that moment. Plus, I got it on video.
Get fired from the ODP and you get hired all at the same time. So, and now you on this incredible journey. This will be your fifth year. You're starting this up and coming season. I believe you've worked a postseason game every year. You've been eligible to work a postseason game, and it continued to increase. So, I mean, as far as me knowing you, and I remember we had the opportunity to be at the Colts mini camp back in the day, and we got to hang out with Wayne, you know, may he rest in peace. And I knew then, okay, this brother ain't going to be here long whatsoever, because Mackie was so happy to have you coming, because we was waiting for you, because you was driving over. And we was just waiting. Nah, he's going to be here. And then when I saw, I was like, oh yeah, this bro ain't going to be here long. So, I mean, from us on the Unofficial Lounge, I hope that fifth year, them Super Bowl eligibility come around, baby. And, you know, everything works out for you. But we really appreciate your time. And we're going to have you back on the show, because there's some stories on that Chitlin circuit that we have not been able to get to. And we probably gonna have to have you on here, right? We probably gonna have to have you on here with your boy Mike. Mike's been on the show.
Don't bring barbecue Mike on. Mike think he can barbecue, man.
Yeah,
and Mike overcooking that meat.
here's some of them stories of all the road trips that you guys had together. Yeah. But Terry, we really appreciate you, my brother, and best of luck this season. Stay healthy, stay strong, and the Unofficial Lounge will talk to you soon.
Terry killing y'all.
Appreciate it.
The next time you're traveling up the picturesque Pacific Coast Highway, join us for happy hour at PCH Street Salon and Wine Lounge. The heart of the Pacific Coast Highway is in Lompoc, California.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Remember to please like and subscribe, as the Unofficial Lounge is available on all your podcast streaming outlets, including Apple, Google, Spotify, and Anchor. We look forward to you joining us next time in the Unofficial Lounge.